And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this exciting Wednesday evening. We're here tonight with Kyle.
Oh, yes. Hello. Hi, Emmanuel.
Alex.
Good evening.
And Rob T. Firefly there.
Good evening.
Wow. You all make it okay through the first ever wireless emergency alert?
We're all still here.
Barely.
I don't know. A lot of mayhem and pandemonium.
I still hear phones chiming and things beeping.
People running around the studios here and screaming. And
yeah, some people are still getting, they just got their message. I got mine actually right when it was sent.
All right, let me tell you what I got. I got a phone that I can't use right now because it says on it, emergency alert. This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. Type : presidential alert. And then there's a little thing that says, okay. I'm supposed to press OK, and I'm not going to because I don't think it's OK. And my phone and I have been in a standoff now for about 6 hours where, you know, it rings, I get messages, but I can't really see them. They disappear very quickly. It won't let me do anything unless I hit OK, and I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to.
And you should tell the listeners what happens when you get a phone call. This is what we tested.
Look, I don't know what this is. This is a message I'm getting from somebody. I can't read it. It's not showing me.
Yeah, well, go back to my question.
Yes.
You got distracted there.
I'm sorry. I'm going to continue being distracted.
I think you should describe what happens when you get phone calls.
Different things. Well, we have some live audio when that was unfolding.
Oh, good.
And we have all kinds of we had our event. We had our event at about 2:18 p.m. Actually, does anybody know why 2:18 p.m. was chosen as the time? I've been trying to find that out. No one seems to know. Originally, it was supposed to be in September. On a different day of the week, I think a Thursday, but it was also scheduled for 2:18 p.m. So when they rescheduled for October 3rd, they kept that time. So that time must mean something to somebody. So if anyone can either write to us, oth@2600.com, or call us 347-335-0818 when we take phone calls a little bit later on, and let us know, we'd be thrilled.
Well, I've heard this explained as that, you know, if you add up the numbers, it adds up to 11. And that's Donald Trump's favorite number.
Okay, yeah, I know that's
I'm
not
only
true.
Kidding.
I know that's not true. This is not a time for levity, Alex. This is a serious thing.
I am very serious.
In military time, that would be 14:18.
All right.
I don't know if there's any significance there.
Let me put the brakes on this right now. We don't know. We don't know what 2:18 means. It means something to somebody. Oh, and also, 2 minutes after that, we didn't know this, actually, last time we talked about it. There was a nationwide emergency alert system test. Which went to all TV and radio stations. I'm not sure about cable networks. Maybe people can report to us on that. We've only had two of those nationwide alerts where every single station was alerted at the same time. So it was a real day of emergency and panic. And that's going to be our theme tonight, emergency and panic. We like people to chime in whenever possible. Let's go back in history a little bit because these things have roots. And back in the 1950s and the 1960s, many of us were convinced that we were all going to be annihilated in nuclear war. And when you are preparing for such a future, there are certain things that you have to put in place, and broadcasting is one of those things. There was a system known as CONELRAD. Anybody out there remember CONELRAD? You guys know what CONELRAD is? Nobody? Blank stares?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it, Kyle? No.
No. I was very, very small.
Rob?
Isn't that what the communists call one another?
Or? Anybody in the hallway? Anybody hear of CONELRAD?
CONELRAD? Does CONELRAD work here?
Answering, my God. we will get that soundproofing installed, I promise. Okay, CONELRAD. No, we were wondering if you might have heard of CONELRAD. Reggie, have you heard of CONELRAD?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, listen to a radio. We will tell you.
Oh, okay.
When's the soundproofing going to be installed in our studios?
I was working on it. I helped.
This inter-studio communication is great, but...
Maybe within a month.
Oh, wow.
Okay, don't laugh.
Hopefully.
I'm going to miss this.
This is just how outstanding Reggie is as far as engineering. That's how on the spot. He's right here.
He thought there was an emergency.
Well, we scream often. Yeah. It's good when someone comes running.
Yeah.
Next time, though, it won't be a test.
Oh, thank you for the warning.
All right. Our theme is... panic, pandemonium, emergency, all kinds of things like that. Anyway, getting back to CONELRAD, since no one apparently knows what that is, and how quickly people forget. It stands for, and you have to choose your letters here, Control of Electromagnetic Radiation.
That's not what I would have guessed.
No, because, yeah, it's weird. It was a method of emergency broadcasting to the public of the United States in the event of enemy attack during the Cold War. It was intended to allow continuous... Ignore that. It was intended to allow continuous broadcast of civil defense information to the public using radio stations while rapidly switching the transmitter stations to make the broadcast unsuitable for Soviet bombers that might attempt to home in on the signals, as was done during World War II when German radio stations based in or near cities were used as beacons by pilots of bombers. Yeah.
So it was a frequency hopping?
Well, basically, there were two frequencies. There was 6:20 a.m. and, I'm sorry, 6:40 a.m. and 12:40 a.m. If you look at old AM radios, you will see little arrows, two arrows on the dial, basically pointing to that particular those particular frequencies. And in the event of an emergency, all radio stations were supposed to sign off the air, and only two stations, I'm not sure where they were based, if they were based in existing stations or at special facilities, those are the only two frequencies that could broadcast nationwide.
Can you explain the second part again? It's something about so that it would not be something that could be honed in on. Does that mean you'd try to obfuscate where the official transmissions are coming from?
Apparently, well, since it's using the same frequency nationwide, the source of the frequency was never really established. For instance, okay, there's an emergency. All stations sign off. Only 6:40 and 12:40 a.m. are allowed to broadcast. We're broadcasting from the Empire State Building now. Now we're broadcasting from Juniors in Brooklyn, you know? And, so and after that, you know, Shopsons in Manhattan, who knows, all kinds of places that we could go to with transmitters that are already outfitted, and you couldn't home in on the signals that way.
Yeah, so they're the homogeneity of the signals being from disparate places, but all producing the same content would make it very difficult in any one location to determine go that way for the transmitter or that way, because all transmitters and the only transmissions were all this broadcast and coming from all directions because they're the only thing on the air.
It's kind of funny because it's the same technique that pirate radio broadcasters use.
I see.
To try and hide so that they can't be found by the authorities.
Okay.
Usually, though, it's the source. The transmitter is something that's, you know, in one place, and the source keeps moving around. But you can easily move the transmitter around, too. You can have different locations.
So the network of stations that respond and produce the content, they themselves would be, at any one point, either broadcasting or not based on how the network was obscuring it. But the frequency would always have content. That makes sense. So they would have a variability in where they could transmit the signal from to make it appear as though no one transmitter is required to actually continue to broadcast.
I think John F. Kennedy can probably say it better. Let's listen in 1961 to it was a 3-day event actually where they had all kinds of tests and fake emergencies and things like that. And I believe he mentions the Conrad system on April 25th, 1961. Unfortunately, I seem to have the wrong thing up. Why isn't that working? That should be working. Did somebody press the wrong button again? They did, didn't they? Okay, thank you very much for that. Let's press that button, and hopefully it'll work this time. No, it's still not.
The President's message for the Office of Civilian Defense Mobilization for broadcast over Conrad stations from the President's office, April 25th, 1961.
The annual civil defense exercise, of which this broadcast is a part, is a test of our program of peaceful preparedness. We do not expect war. However, common prudence demands that we take all necessary measures to protect our homes, our institutions, and our way of life so that they can survive should an enemy thrust war upon us. Should the United States ever be subjected to direct enemy attack, Conrad and the National Emergency Broadcasting System will be vital to our defense. This carefully planned program would prevent an enemy from using our radio stations to assist him, and yet permits emergency broadcasting such as you now hear. The voluntary participation of the radio and television broadcasters of the nation at their own expense is a commendable example of individual responsibility, which is so essential to the survival of this nation. In the whole area of civil defense, there is the same requirement. It is true that your government, too, must fulfill its responsibility in civil defense with vigorous leadership. To this end, I have directed an intensive study of the whole subject of emergency planning. It is also true, however, that individual preparedness, which is beyond the province of government, is essential to an effective civil defense. For unless individual Americans plan to protect their own families, the most ambitious and carefully organized activities of government will prove inadequate. We are a people of strong faith in ourselves and in our institutions. We believe that our freedom and our liberty are worth protecting. Therefore, I ask you to support civil emergency planning in your local communities. To those participating in this 3-day exercise, I express my appreciation for your active response to the obligations of citizenship in a free country.
Okay, and that was from 1961, part of a 3-day exercise of emergency alerts. So we got kind of lucky today with the one message that came through to all of our cell phones, and not all of our cell phones got them. We had some exceptions, and I've noticed that people using microcells, people using Wi-Fi, people with no SIMs in their phones tended to be the first ones not to have gotten the messages. So there were exceptions. I've heard people with Wi-Fi that have gotten the messages and the people with no SIM as well in some cases. But that seems to be something somewhat of a weak point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm running a sort of stock Android phone and received nothing. It was on and had a good signal the whole time. And there I was, you know, waiting by the phone, waiting for my ping from the president, and it just didn't show up. And so I feel a little...
What were you... You were using a regular phone.
Yep, normal smartphone, slightly old.
Okay. And was it connected to Wi-Fi? Was it connected to a cell phone signal?
It was connected to both.
Okay, so, but you don't know for sure which it was using at the time. It could have been using Wi-Fi, maybe. And were you inside a building? Were you deep inside a building?
I was not deep enough to affect a signal. I could still get a phone call if one happened.
Okay. Alex, I know you were with us downstairs at the event, which we're going to play an excerpt of in a moment. But did you get the message?
I did indeed. I was there. I put my phone out for the newscasters to video, along with a table full of phones, and my phone went off. And in fact, as I was heading back to Manhattan on a Q train, I don't know, it was maybe a half hour, 40 minutes after the 218 alert had occurred, mm-hmm. I was actually on the train and hearing other people's phones still going off, literally while we were in the subway.
So interesting. So that was a good, hour afterwards?
At least, yeah. It was probably about an hour. And then as we were heading over the Manhattan Bridge back into Manhattan, I'd called my wife to check to see if she got the presidential alert. We're on the same plan with T-Mobile, and she had informed me that she, in fact, did not receive the alert.
Interesting.
It's like this is the beginning of an episode of The Leftovers or something like that, right?
Yeah, who was chosen and who was not chosen?
I don't know, but this definitely means something.
And why?
Definitely means something. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But I think, you know, this shows that, you know, this nationwide broadcast system was, I think, spotty at best. Right, I mean, if Rob didn't receive it, if my wife didn't receive it, they're not the same person, by the way.
No,
there are tons of people that did not receive these alerts, and this is supposed to be a nationwide test.
Well, as I've already said, I received the alert, but I didn't acknowledge it, and apparently that makes me the enemy. So we're going to see how that turns out.
But while I was busy not receiving the alert, there were a lot of people around me. I was in a populated building, and others were receiving their alerts. I could hear theirs.
Did you have to calm them down because you knew what was going on and they didn't?
Yeah, there was a degree of, there might have been some crying, actually.
Okay. And Kyle, now you have a BlackBerry, so did you receive it okay on that device? I understand it's always the cause of problems and excuses for things not working, but it seems pretty solid to me.
Oh, yeah, I got mine loud and clear, and anybody who still uses the BlackBerry 10 operating system you would have a what's called a hub, and basically it's all your messages in one organized way with like different designations for the type of message it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular one, like the weather alerts I had talked about previously, those are sort of a different class of alert. But the distinction with this alert, or what made it different from that class of like weather and other kind of disaster alerts, was it has a star. There's a big star next to it. Like
you got a star?
Yeah, it's wow. like you know, a presidential star. I don't know. It has this authoritative graphic that none of the other alerts had. So that was kind of interesting. But other than that, I got it immediately, along with a lot of other people that were with us. And we did just to add, somebody there did have a phone with no SIM, and they eventually did get an alert.
The people who came, you know, I know it's hard in the middle of the day. People are at work, people are you know, in school, and things like that. It's hard to get people to show up, but a good group did show up, and they showed up armed with all kinds of phones. So I think it was worth it. I think it was very much an educational experience. We're going to be analyzing what we learned from that. We got some nice sounds, some nice footage from it as well. So thanks to those people for showing up.
Yeah, the variety of devices was spectacular. People had all kinds of different stuff. Hotspots, like you mentioned, these like MiFi things that are cellular based but provide Wi-Fi. Some of them get text messages, but maybe didn't get an alert. There's all this variability, and we really appreciate everyone who brought devices and anybody who has shared what they're doing on social media and everywhere. This is invaluable information, and I can't help but think that we're doing a lot more than other official agencies as far as researching how this went. I'm sure they're able to see and get some kind of response in collecting that. But
well, we're hackers, for God's sake. We have to experiment and play with this.
I'm blown away, and it's just a really great thing to see the participation from everyone and enthusiasm for something that, yeah, it's kind of serious, but it can also be fun, and it can be something we explore.
All right, let's listen to a little bit of the event downstairs that took place earlier this afternoon. This is from the Commons Cafe shortly before the wireless emergency alert was sent over today. Okay, we are 9 minutes away from the test, the presidential alert test, wireless emergency alert is the official name of this. It's 2:09 p.m. right now. 2:18 is when this is supposed to happen. This is Emmanuel here with Kyle.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, it's pretty good. We got a little crowd here at the Commons Cafe here in Brooklyn. I know it's kind of hard for people to get away from school and from work and from sleep and various other things they're involved in right now. But in a few minutes, nationwide, you can't get out of it. Phones are going to start going off, making horrible sounds.
That's right, and I've turned my phone up as loud as it goes. I'm checking.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, no, I want to make sure it's dramatic. I want as much of this alert as possible. It's, as you said, only going to happen one time, so this is our chance. And we've got a lot of phones here. There's really a great selection. Some people brought phones without SIMs. A really interesting array.
Yeah, we're gonna talk to some of those people, but I just wanted to correct you on one thing. You said this is a one-time thing. May I remind you who is in the White House right now? And he has just learned how to do this. This could happen every day.
Wait,
there's no stopping it. You can't get out of it.
You can't spring this on me. You're telling me that this is going to happen more times? I thought this was just, okay, the alert happens now, and then we're done.
This is the test to make sure it works. Now that Trump knows how to do it, you know, every time he doesn't like an NBA player, you might get an alert on your phone. But that's just something we're going to have to live with and adjust our lives. I'm going to talk to some of the people over here. Now, we have a whole bunch of cell phones. Anybody want to be on the radio? No? Okay. Over here. He's got a collection here. What do you got here? You got a bunch of phones.
Yeah, I've got a large.
Who are you, first of all?
Here. First of all, I'm Tyler True. I'm actually a member of DEF CON 201 in New Jersey. We're a hacker group that meets up every third Friday of the month at Journal Square, right by the PATH station. So what I have here are a number of devices, some video game systems, they shouldn't get the alert, hopefully. A Samsung Galaxy Note 4 on Verizon, no SIM card. a Samsung Galaxy Nexus, also no SIM card. The Note 4 is on the latest firmware. The Nexus is actually on custom firmware on 4.4.4 Android. I have here a Chinese phone that's like a no-name that's on GSM. It has a dual SIM. It might get the alert twice. I also have my main phone, which is an HTC One M9 running Lineage OS 15, which is a custom Android distribution. And it's on Android 8.1 Oreo, which is close to the latest one. Pi is actually the newest, but it should be stable and it has service, so it should be receiving the alert.
Well, we only have 6 minutes left, but let me ask you this question. With all these phones on the desk next to you right now, how are you going to be able to tell which one goes off and which one doesn't?
They should light up. It's whenever I get an EWS alert, emergency, or EAS rather, for like a flood or something, the screen lights up, it makes a harsh noise, you know, the usual thing.
We have people all over the country who are experimenting in different ways with phones in airplane mode, phones vibrate mode, silent mode, phones that are turned off, foreign phones that are in the U.S., foreign countries that are currently housing U.S. citizens. Everyone is testing this, and hopefully they will all get back to us by either writing to us, oth@2600.com, or calling into our show, which is taking place this same evening. So with only 5 minutes to go before panic sets in across the nation, we have a growing crowd here in the Commons Cafe, and it'll be interesting to see just what happens. Does anyone else have any words for us? No? Okay, well, then we will check back in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it was a shy crowd, but it's a good crowd of people experimenting with phones earlier, and we're gonna play a little bit more of that in just a minute. We also will start taking phone calls 347-335-0818. I should also point out today's a fundraiser, so please give a call to 516-620-3602 if you are getting something out of what you are listening to right now. Please call and pledge. We are basically offering the generic WBAI premiums tonight, and the people on the other end of the phone can tell you all about that. You can also go to give2wbai.org. That's give, the number 2, wbai.org. You'll see all kinds of premiums there in exchange for your pledge. And it's something that keeps us going. And where else will you have conversations like this? 516-620-3602. Please call support WBAI.
The other two things I want to mention regarding pledging is texting WBAI to the short code 41444, and you'll be sent a link that directs you to a donation page, has all the information there. And lastly, the WBAI Buddy program, we would be neglecting the station and the powerful the impact, the incredible contributions from individuals every single month that program allows and enables so much to happen. It allows us to add soundproofing, and I was actually in there today. There's a lot of progress on the new studios. It's
the BAI Buddy system. That's where you say, you know what, I'm going to give the price of a cup of coffee once a week or once a month to WBAI, and at the end of the year, wow, look how much I've contributed.
Yeah.
How do people do that?
It's the website.
I'm sorry, I thought you had the info right.
The
website is give2wbai.org. That's give the numeral 2 WBAI. Or you can call our pledge line at 516-620-3602 and ask about the BAI Buddy program. Or if you're looking at the website, don't ask the screen. That would be weird. But look for the bit that says WBAI Buddy program. And because that's where you can sign up and it's got all the info for you, you can set whatever donation amount you want to be a recurring donation whatever you can afford. And that really helps us a lot.
Or just back an armored truck full of cash in front of the building. We'll take that, too.
Yeah, but after 5 p.m., please. All right, let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Oh, hi. I wanted to relay my non-experience and introduce another conspiracy theory.
Oh, you're calling from a landline, aren't you?
I am. Thank you. but I also have a cell phone. It's a pretty dumb phone. I like to say that I'm the smart one in my family of one, not the phone. And it's an Obama phone. It's a phone that I got because my healthcare provider, thank you, Barack, has offered it to me. So I don't know if other Obama phones recipients who have a dumb phone that they don't pay for, as is my case, were also left out. But as we know, the bent of this administration towards the needy and the poor and all the people that are less privileged.
Okay, well, we're going to have to move a little faster than this, just because we have a lot to get to.
That's about it. You know, I wonder if other people who are on Obamacare and have Obama phones also were left out of this national alert, you know, and in case we get bombarded or whatever, we won't be told. That's all. Thank you. I'll listen.
All right. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, I had a question for the caller.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. He had to hang up. But what would you have asked him?
What carrier does your Obama phone use?
Okay, well, maybe the next Obama phone caller can tell us that. I understand that there's been an increase in the crisis situation back in 1961, and that means that we're going to have to listen to a message where an attack is probable. A probable attack is on the way. This is what you would have heard over the Conrad radio stations back in 1961.
Here is a special and urgent message for you. This is Howard Viken, your official civil defense announcer. Civil defense authorities have determined that it is advisable for all persons to leave the city. Your safety and perhaps your life depends on remaining calm and following these instructions. Do not attempt to cross town. Leave the city immediately by the shortest route. Absent members of the family will rejoin the family after they leave the city. Federal authorities have indicated an enemy air attack is probable. We are not certain that it definitely will come here, but there is a chance that we will be attacked. Follow these instructions. Put your emergency supply of food, clothing, bottled water, medicines, and first aid supplies in your car. Load all the members of the family that are at home now into the car and leave the area. Don't try to telephone anyone. Drive on the shortest possible route to get outside the city. Travel at least, I repeat, at least 50 miles from the city. Do not attempt to cross town or drive across roads being used by others as they leave town. Follow civil defense road signs and directions. Your car radio should be tuned to 640 or 1240 for official instructions. Remain calm and give everybody else the same chance you want for yourself to leave town. We can all get to safe areas if we act calmly. If your car is disabled on the highway and cannot be repaired immediately, push it to the side of the road and ride with someone else. By the same token, if your car is not full, pick up people walking along the road or street. Obey civil defense police and wardens. Stay in traffic lanes and stay in your place. If you try to pass other cars, you'll only cause traffic jams. Do not try to cross evacuation routes. Avoid main bridges if possible. If you have a place of refuge far enough away, go there and remain until we give you information that will permit your return. If you do not have a place prepared for yourself, drive at least 50 miles from the target area. Civil defense will instruct you there. Cooperate with civil defense workers and they will help you. Do not listen to rumors. And above all, keep calm. Your life depends on it. Keep tuned to this station for further information and tell your neighbors to tune in also. This is your official civil defense broadcaster, Howard Viken.
Okay, thank you, Howard. Folks, first of all, don't panic. That was from 1961. But do keep your dial set to 99.5 FM because you will be happier and safer that way. Is that enough of a disclaimer? You guys were thinking we should let people know this really isn't happening?
Well, all I know is I'm really anxious now, and I know that's from long ago, and still I kind of want to load my family in the car that I don't have and leave the city.
Well, that brings up two points to me. The more he tells you to stay calm, the more freaked out I was getting just listening to that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to what city would this reasonably ever apply where they're operating under this assumption that everybody has a car? What if you don't have a car? They didn't talk about buses or walking over.
This is 1961, Alex.
Well, even in Manhattan in 1961. I mean, I guess on the other hand, to be fair to Howard, Mr. Viken, in 1961 and in 2018, do not attempt to cross the city is probably good advice, even on just a normal day without any kind of emergency. it's very hard to get across the city at any particular time.
That is true. That is true.
But it really is. I mean, it does seem to assume that everybody has their own vehicle. Or you're just going to be a hitchhiker that Howard instructs you to kind of pick up.
Wouldn't you be directed to like a fallout shelter if you were going to stay in place?
Oh, it gets better. It gets better because that was only a probable attack. There are higher levels than this. And somehow these recordings have been obtained. So
they sound great, but it's modulated in such a spooky way. There's something like there's two frequencies of his voice there. Something in the background.
No, that was the 1960s. Everything sounded like that. You had the Twilight Zone, Your Outer Limits, Lost in Space. It was all creepy and scary.
There's
and
something demonic in that. Like, I don't know, in the way it sounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. David Lynch would understand. Mm-hmm. Our phone number again, 347-335-0818. If you have experiences from today's wireless emergency alert, we're going to play another clip from today's event downstairs at the Commons Cafe, which I believe is the clip where everything happened. So this is what it sounded like downstairs at the moment of the alert being sent out to cell phones all over the country. Let's listen. Okay, folks, again, gather as close as possible. Take your seats and have your phones out. I believe we're 1 minute away. Okay, put the phone there. I'm going to move this microphone to capture the sound of the room. I remember this is happening across the entire nation at the same time. 10 seconds, I'm told. Everyone stay calm. And remember, this may not work. Okay, nothing's happening. We have a whole minute, so 2:18 p.m.
Oh, there it goes.
And on the phone, this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed, except you do need to take action. You have to hit OK on your phone, otherwise that message won't go away. So the test has been sent out. I see there's people panicking in the streets. We are calm in this room, hopefully, still. Good. Anyone have any surprising results? Any phones that didn't go off or anything? Any strange messages?
Yeah, I had a couple that didn't go off.
Okay, what phones didn't go off? Oh, we're getting a second round now. Huh. Interesting. Is this a second round, or could this be the real thing? Okay, it does say it's a test again. But, okay, this has now supposedly happened throughout the country. We'll find out soon enough if, in fact, it has. And actually, in just about a minute, every radio and TV station in the country is going to be receiving an emergency alert signal as another test. We call it an afternoon of panic, and we're enjoying it here in Brooklyn. What didn't? Didn't get the alert. Okay, so we need to log all the things that didn't get the alert, and maybe next time. All right, well, I want to thank everybody for coming down. This was fun and educational. We'll be collating the results that we're getting from listeners around the country and learning a lot about how this system works, how the system doesn't work, how it can be abused or defeated or all sorts of fun things like that. But this was an historical event, the first ever test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. And again, no action is needed except hit OK if you ever want to use your phone again. Okay, and that's what it sounded like downstairs at the Commons Cafe here in Brooklyn at the moment, 2:18 p.m. when when cell phones all over the country were hit with a test for the first time ever. Now, we've been getting lots of emails and tweets from people. I know, Rob, you got a tweet just now on our Hacker Radio Show Twitter account concerning the timing. We were wondering why it was 2:18 p.m.
Yes, indeed. A listener called Joe says that I heard that 2:20 was requested by radio stations for the least disruption to their programming, so they went with 2:18 because it's a two-minute alert.
Yeah, but why is 2:20 the least disruptive time for radio?
I don't know. I mean, maybe not as many people are listening, or maybe radio stations put their boring stuff on in the 2:18 slot. I don't know.
It's not the top of the hour or half past the hour. Top of the hour would be like station IDs and so on and so forth. And then 2:30 would also be maybe a transition between some programming if it's only airing on that.
That's also, and just a theory of mine, is that the top of the hour or on the quarter hour would probably be easier to mistake for a normal alarm that someone might have going, because that's when people tend to set those.
See, if it was me, 3 in the morning seems like a time when less people are listening to the radio would be less disruptive then.
And they would all be woken up and complain.
Oh, yes. This is why I don't plan these things.
Or sleep, then.
That's true. I'm wide awake at 3 in the morning. We also got some email, several bits of email and a bunch of tweets concerning an OS known as Lineage OS, which is basically for Android phones. And apparently there is an option there that I did not know about, where you can turn the presidential alert off. This is like Winston Smith finding out that he can turn the radio off in 1984. But basically, if you go to Settings, Advanced, Alerts, press the three dots in the upper right-hand corner for the Settings menu for alerts. Presidential is the first checkbox, and you can uncheck it. Thank you, Red Herring, for sending that in. We've heard people say they did that, and it worked. So if that's the case, Lineage OS is the OS of choice for people who don't want to be disturbed by these wireless emergency alerts. But is it legal? Because isn't it mandated that you can't turn it off? Isn't that part of the whole thing?
I don't know. I mean, Lineage OS is an open source OS for Android-based phones, which means that it's not a company that can be told, hey, you have to put this capability in your system. It's people all over the world collaborating on this, and I guess they've come to the conclusion that maybe people should have the ability to switch these off.
Yeah, wouldn't it be like, I think the carriers, they have the mandate from the federal government to implement the E911 or whatever kinds of emergency systems and schemes that the government is trying to implement. And then the carriers basically push it through the software that they include with most devices. And then, of course, if you're modifying a device, you're not bound or receiving the same packages and mandated code that's in everybody else's phone.
It's funny because they always say it's voluntary participation of radio stations. They did that back in the Conrad days. They did that back in EBS and now EAS. But every station always does it exactly like they're supposed to. And I imagine cell phone companies are also voluntarily doing it. But if they know what's good for them, they do exactly what they're told. So, you know, this kind of thing is interesting when you have an OS that supposedly can get around it. Maybe some cell phone companies also are doing things that allow you to opt out of this.
I guess I'm not clear, though, like just of us, like if you're trying to opt out of it, like what scenario, when this system is actually being used, would you not want to know about it?
Well, if Trump got a hold of it and was abusing it, which is entirely possible now. They say that won't happen, but you know what? He is the only person authorized to do this. And how many other things have gone crazy because of that?
I feel like that stuff just goes to his social media accounts. But this particular system, like I'm trying to put weight on what this is for.
Uh-huh.
Why would you not want to know about what's coming? Even if he's the one writing the messages or it's from his administration, I'd still like to know, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, how about if they tested once a week? Do you still want to know then? You know, there's all kinds of ways they can annoy you. Maybe they'll send, a presidential alert every time, somebody goes missing someplace because, well, we should all be concerned. There's all sorts of reasons why their reasoning for sending it out might not coincide with our reasoning for wanting to hear about it. You know, if an attack is imminent, well, okay, I guess we should know about that. Some people will say, you know what? I don't want to know if an attack is imminent. I think it should be a choice. Back in the Conrad days, you could turn on your radio, you could turn it off. Of course, you can do the same thing for your phone, but it's a lot more insidious. It's a lot more something that you are not likely to be able to avoid.
Well, I mean, excuse me, think about the Amber Alerts that people get these days. You know, sometimes you don't necessarily want to get them because they just keep coming and coming and coming. I mean, I remember getting an Amber Alert for a car for which the police were searching in New York when I was in Pennsylvania, and the Amber Alert just didn't stop for about 24 hours. You know, every 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so, getting another Amber Alert. And when I researched this, it turns out that the car was actually found about 12 hours before the Amber Alert stopped. And it was incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
You know, and we have kids that are trying to sleep and the phones are constantly going off. It was a total disaster because of these Amber Alerts.
Well, those kids should realize they could be the next Amber Alert and they should be happy to be woken up.
So you like kids if they're trying to sleep, but you could give a damn about the other kids out there. Okay, I get it.
That's about right.
Wow.
You know, the latest Amber Alerts, though, they make you call something or go to a website. They don't even tell you the details. You have to do the work. You know, they're just saying there's an Amber Alert and here's how to find out more information about it.
If you're gonna
go to the trouble of sending a text to my phone or putting a big sign up on the expressway, give the details because, you know, I'm not a detective here.
And then you'll probably have to log in and create a username.
All sorts of
and
things. And then they know you did that. They're keeping track of you now. Why did you take such an interest in this case, et cetera, et cetera.
But with the Amber Alerts, we as individuals each know whether or not we're going to be in much of a position to do anything about an Amber Alert. Like about 100 years ago, I was in the arcade business, and then it was before we had Amber Alerts, but I was subscribed to every local missing child thing because that makes sense. If you're in that kind of context, if you're running that kind of business, you wanna maybe keep an eye out. But if like I am now, you're working in a place full of adults, you don't have much truck with children anymore. You don't get out much. You're kind of a recluse. You don't experience children in the wild all that much. Like, what are you going to do with Amber Alerts?
I'm sorry, Rob. I have to interrupt you now because there have been further developments back in 1961 with our Conrad Broadcasting. Here's some more information right now.
This is Howard Viken, your official civil defense announcer. Here are more instructions for your safety. If you have livestock, get the animals under cover. Be sure you have supplies of food, clothing, water, and medical equipment gathered together and ready. Don't use the telephone, and don't drive toward the larger cities. Civil defense personnel, report to your duty stations. Don't listen to rumors, and don't spread any rumors you have heard. Keep tuned to this station for further information. Remember, you can get official civil defense programs only at 640 and 1240 on your dial. Any other programs during the radio alert are unofficial. Beware of them. The enemy may attempt to confuse you by using unauthorized stations. Do not listen or start rumors. They can cause panic. This station, the station you are listening to, will continue to give you all authentic information and instruction. This is Howard Viken, your official civil defense announcer.
Thank you again, Howard. And yes, unauthorized stations. They'll try to confuse you. Keep your dial set here at 99.5. Back then it was 6:40 a.m. and 12:40 a.m., the Conrad frequencies, but we've updated things since.
Well, this was the early days, I guess, or the nascent idea of fake news that Howard Viken was talking about here.
Yeah, propaganda, you know, all sorts of things like that. By the way, the Conrad system lasted another couple of years. In 1963, it was done, replaced with the emergency broadcast system. That lasted until 1997, and then we have what we have now, the emergency alert system, which, you know, if you're watching TV or listening to the radio earlier today at about 2:20, you would have heard some nice alert tones. And all kinds of fun things as a result of that. Hey, we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Hi, Greg. Hey, good evening. Thank you for having me on. So when you talk about emergency alerts and how you can have like misinformation that can be produced, there's one program that's out there that has had a number of false alerts, about 140 of them, regarding bioterrorism. You talk about BioWatch. What happens if this program has a false alert? And I believe that 2600 actually has documentation regarding how that program was mismanaged. So, Alex, I know you hear my voice. I know you recognize me. Let's make the 14th happen.
Okay. All right.
What was that last bit?
He said, let's make the 14th
happen. The 14th.
14th.
Are you guys coming down to Bethesda?
The 14th. Are we coming to Bethesda on the 14th?
Well,
I'll leave you guys to chat about this,
yes,
but this is getting a little too specific for listeners.
This is the good doctor.
Yeah, but thank you. And we have all kinds of things going on, messages being passed back and forth, but
We can follow up on this.
Yes, I got your messages, and we'll get back to the airwaves.
Thanks for calling. We have an update from downstairs from earlier in the afternoon. I have to race through these because we're running out of time and there's so much material to broadcast here. This is shortly after the alerts were received. Okay, it's a few minutes past. It's actually 24 past 2. We're starting to discover some interesting things here. I've kept my phone untouched, so it still says emergency alert. This is a test, all caps, of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. Type colon presidential alert and then OK button. You're supposed to hit the OK button. And apparently, your phone isn't good for anything until you do that. Alex, we just tried an experiment. Why don't you try it again? Give me a call on your phone, which you've already hit the OK for, and we'll see what happens when my phone rings. Yeah, that's my ringtone. But what's interesting, apart from the ringtone, is the fact that my screen is completely blank. Look, there's nothing at all on it. It's oh, wait, now I flipped it around, and now I do see your name in very tiny print underneath emergency alerts. So I guess I can pick it up.
Let's try it again.
Yeah, let's try it again, see if see what stays on my screen. Yeah, it goes back to emergency alert. This is a test. Okay, you're calling again. This time I'm going to try and pick it up. Okay, I got my clock back. And now I see a full screen with your name. So it takes 3 attempts before your phone goes back to normal. Now, if you hang up, let's see if I get my clock back. No, I have the emergency alert back on my screen.
Try again.
Yeah, this time I'm going to try and pick up and see what happens. And see if I get my phone back in normal mode. Again, a blank screen when you're calling in. I think what I have to do is I have to actually move the phone to get it to display who's calling. So let me do that. Actually, you know, my phone is flaky because I'm moving it all over the place and it's still blank. And look, I'm waving it in the air and it's like it's been bricked. That's what it looks like. So yeah, if you don't hit OK, if you refuse to hit OK, you might be in some trouble there. I'm going to go through the entire day without hitting OK. I don't care. This is my act of civil disobedience here. I don't even know. Is that you calling me, Alex, or somebody else is calling me? I don't know who's calling me now. Wow. Well, if you're calling me and I'm not picking up, it's because I'm not getting the information. It's being withheld from me because I refuse to acknowledge the presidential alert on my phone. We'll keep checking in with more updates as we get them. And we do have an update on that, which we'll get to in just a moment. But first, we have another update from 1961. This is our final update, and this is the most serious of the messages.
Your attention, please. This is Dick Chapman, one of your official civil defense broadcasters with a special message. Military authorities have advised us that an enemy attack by air is imminent. This is a red alert. You are advised to go to your nearest shelter area immediately. Find shelter. There is not time to leave the city. Your state civil defense director has just issued the following instructions. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Do not attempt to join your family or your children if they are now separated. They will be cared for where they are. Obey your civil defense warden and find shelter now. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. If you are at work, obey your civil defense authorities. Go quickly and calmly to your designated shelter. If your children are at school, they are being directed to shelter by their teachers. If you are in an automobile, pull over to the curb and then go immediately to the nearest shelter area. Do not leave your car where it will block traffic. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Stay tuned to 640 or 1240 kilocycles on your radio for official information.
refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official Civil Defense broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare a civil defense emergency to exist in the state of Minnesota. This will put into effect emergency plans for your welfare. Minnesota civil defense organizations, including those of counties and municipalities, are directed to mobilize and act in accordance with approved plans. I am also calling a special session of both houses of the legislature to convene at a place and time I will designate in a later announcement. I ask that you cooperate with your civil defense officials. You will be advised of further developments by radio. Stay tuned for further information. This is Governor Elmer L. Anderson.
My phone's making noise again. So apparently, in addition to my phone being blanked, having a blank screen if I don't hit the OK button, it will keep sending the alert. So I just got another alert. It's 27 minutes after 2. The test was supposed to take place 9 minutes ago. I haven't hit OK. So I guess this is something else. If you don't acknowledge, your phone will continuously make this noise. And again, I am not hitting OK because I don't think it's OK. And we're going to see if my phone is just going to be a perpetual brick that makes emergency alert tones constantly. This is going to be an interesting standoff. Well, that's where we stand right now. And of course, I imagine everybody heard it was a civil defense emergency in the state of Minnesota. Yes, my phone ringing live now. I'm going to repower it in just a second, but. I assume when people heard that it was Minnesota that they didn't stop panicking. But no, none of that was happening. That was from 1961. It was a message that never actually went across. I'm going to repower my phone right now. I'm going to cycle it so that I can I can see if the message goes away. I'm going to hit restart. We're going to take one more phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I just had this great thought that I want to share.
Go ahead.
Think about this. It's basically they're jamming your phone up unless someone physically has to take their finger and press the OK button, and then it's gone.
Uh-huh.
And they can do this later on. They could do it the next day. So let's say, I don't know, just for argument's sake, there's a solar flare or a meteor hits the planet.
Right.
And you got 300 million phones, and there's blackout, and then they finally get things going again. They do the emergency signal, and then you have to physically hit the button, and that's how they can say, oh, we got 200 million people alive, 100 million people we're not getting an answer from.
If it sends an answer, yes.
Yes, so they could use this as kind of using technology. Back in those days, they had the emergency system, but it took a long time to get a head count if anything ever happened. But now it's just, I got to turn my phone on. The world's going crazy. And then I got to press OK, and then all of a sudden they get a head count.
That's a great theory as far as telemetry, being able to make an alert that responds or gives you kind of information, and that data could be organized and looked at and analyzed after the fact, even regionally. You know, what regions have the least response? You know, where are these different things affected people?
I couldn't figure out why is this thing jamming my phone, even like years back. And not until this moment, and I'm glad you guys picked up, that it came to me that said that it's a head count, it's a monitoring system. It's to see how many people are alive out there. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. And I'm happy to say my phone is back. I've booted it up, and looks like I can get in. There's no message there anymore. There's no message. But you know what? There's no message. Oh, there it is. Okay, emergency alert. There is a record of it. So I can at least click on it and see the message, but I don't have to hit OK anymore. Wow, a little bit of history there.
Two observations
yes.
I had. Those old civil defense broadcast recordings. One was the conversation of the enemy. I love that.
Uh-huh.
It was so clear cut. We knew the enemy. Everybody knew what that meant. Now it's broken down into like specific events and alerts and really who's the enemy?
Martians.
Who is the enemy? Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's kind of a quandary if you really think about that.
I like the part about don't listen to unauthorized broadcasters who are trying to fool you.
Yeah.
Stick to the station.
A question occurred to me, you know, I guess the parallel, the civil defense would be the same as DHS is today. And so the civil defense warden in your business or your work that you would answer to, or the officer, is basically the person in your office that went to the DHS training on the weekend and, you know, knows what to do or whatever.
We have one more call in only a few seconds. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi. Okay, I have a little flip phone. Verizon is a carrier.
Okay.
But I never pressed okay.
You never pressed and okay?
No.
Did you get the message?
Yeah, I got the message.
Okay.
It's still there.
Okay.
But I've been able to make calls back and forth.
You're able to make calls without hitting okay?
Yes.
Wow. Right. Well, you're smarter than I. I don't know how you were able to do that. I wasn't able to get past that.
And I never got a blank screen.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that just might be my phone. I've dropped it a whole bunch of times.
Yeah. And one lady called. She's a T-Mobile person, and she didn't get the alert.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who did not get the alerts. We're going to be sorting through the many, many responses that we've been getting through email, through Twitter, and trying to figure out where the failures were.
Yeah, a lot of older flip phones, more simple designs would definitely get it. In some cases, the smarter phones wouldn't, or some configuration or combination of carrier and device. All of it is fascinating, and it is really cool to have done this and for everyone who participated.
Thanks to all those people who showed up and helped us have fun with this, because every event is meant to be fun, and you know, we can experiment with it and learn things about it.
Consider yourselves ready.
Exactly. And if you're ready to call us and donate to the radio station to keep the radio station going so we can have fun days like this, where we can't stop it, we can't do anything about it, but we can at least have fun with it and play with it and learn and share information, please consider donating to WBAI 516-620-3602, or you can go to the website, give to WBAI.org, give to number 2 WBAI.org, become a WBAI buddy. Details are on the website, or you can text to 41444, the letters WBAI. Write to us, oth@2600.com, with your experiences. We will see you next week. Good night.
Malachi McCourt, and this is WBAI Listener Sponsored Radio in New York City.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another amazing Fun Drive special. I am your host, Christine Blasdale, and I'm very, very happy that you tuned in and listened to the show today, because I have a wonderful guest who is going to blow your mind. He blew my mind when I met him at the Craig Duzwalt's Rockstar Marketing Bootcamp, and I wanted to bring him on to the program today to talk to you about some exciting stuff that he's got going on and what he can help you with in life, in business. And it is none other than the Maverick Millionaire himself, Mr. Paul Fink. And Paul has been, his skill sets have spanned over 30 years of incredible sales, marketing, entrepreneurial experience. He's consulted and trained with a lot of the industry's top folks. And he is also a genius when it comes to information marketing, direct sales, multi-level marketing, speaking, coaching, training, all of that. And he's here to join us today to help us raise some money for this important radio station, and also to give you some amazing skills that you can use in your own personal life. I want to welcome to the program Mr. Paul Fink, the Maverick Millionaire. Welcome, Paul.
Christine, it is an absolute pleasure. I want to thank you so much and just honored to be a part of this. Craig introduced us. Craig Doeswalt, the Rockstar Marketer. You've heard from him, and he introduced us, and I'm so grateful to him to have brought me into this community and excited to be a part of this all.
The wonderful thing about the work that Craig does and the work that you do and what I love so much about the potential, the possibilities, right, of what people that are in the audience, at one of your events or Craig's events, the people that are in the audience are just, I mean, it's just, they're just like me. They're just like the listeners. They're people who have skills, passion, so much information that they could share with the world. And they, a lot of times, they know that they want to either change their life. They're not happy. They're either underemployed or unemployed, or they want to get back out into the workforce. They don't want to do the same thing of just, you know, finding a company that will hopefully hire them, and then they'll be at their whim as far as, you know, you need to be here at the office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., blah, blah, blah. They really want to have control over their lives, and it's an exciting surge right now of entrepreneurial spirit. And I wanted to ask you, especially in the last 6 months to a year, have you noticed this explosion of people that are trying to take their, basically wanting to take their own life and careers in their own hands and are embarking on this incredible journey? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been amazing to watch as the economy shifts. We see this undercurrent of people that say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of living this life that where I'm not in control, where it is somebody else. I'm feeding into their dreams instead of mine. And they finally are coming to the realization that they can take control. And that's really the message, is that you absolutely can control your life, control your destiny, control your future with your actions, your thoughts, your beliefs, your understanding of what we're talking about here, and to create the world that you really want to live in. And that is so powerful, not just your little community, your own little family, how you can change the world by simply taking action and changing who you are, how you show up, and how you engage with the people that you see around you.
It's a beautiful thing to see. And I know from just personal friends and family members who, you know, they're saying, I think I can do this. And what it is that they just need a few tools, not a huge amount of capital, not a lot of money to start anything, but the idea that they can actually do this. And then a few tools, be it from like Craig's, the, you know, Rockstar Marketing Bootcamp, or yep, what we have to offer our listeners today with Total Transformations for, you know, this is for life and for business. This is a package that we're going to be offering today. But before we get into that, I want, if you don't mind, let our listeners know a little bit about your background. Give us an idea of who the Maverick Millionaire is, Mr. Paul Fink, and why people listen to you.
Well, I am called the Maverick Millionaire. The focus in on, yes, able to create the lifestyle through creating income and really creating that abundance in my world, and being the Maverick, meaning I've learned to do things different than the average folk to create a different result. And that's really key. And I teach the Maverick difference, that the way to actually approach life and business and shift your mindset and really transform from a real core essence to create a different result all around you and to literally change your world. It started off, and I've been an entrepreneur for over 32 years. I can't believe it's been that long. 32 years now, ever since I graduated from college. I'm 54 now. I can't believe that. But 54. And as soon as I graduated from college, went right into straight commission sales. Then shortly thereafter, went into distribution companies, then had my own companies throughout. I've never worked for anybody ever in 32 years. And in that process, you know, for about 15, 18 years, I did okay. And okay, I was still doing what most people would consider successful. And yet it wasn't what I know now to be the true potential of where I can be. And I'm only now just beginning to scratch the surface of where I realize I can be and where I see most people can act and can be in their life. However, back then I was doing okay. And well, I had my got married and my wife and I, we had a couple children. Matter of fact, my two girls, they are adopted from my sister right from birth. So we took care of them. They were mommy and daddy from the get-go. And my sister wasn't able to take care of them. And so my wife and I stepped in and we became their legal guardians and shortly thereafter adopted them fully. And so we were doing well. And then, well, we wanted some kids of our own. And so we went through the process and ended up through in vitro fertilization, having two beautiful kids, a boy and a girl. And so everything was going really well. And then, well, God had other plans for us, and we ended up with a surprise of two more children. And so if you're paying attention to this whole process,
if you have a calculator,
we actually have six children.
Six.
Three sets of twins.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
And so the oldest girls, they are twins. And then we had in vitro fertilization. So we created two more twins with doctor's help. And then we had two. Totally natural, complete surprise. We went from a family of four to a family of eight in 14 months. My financial makeup, I don't care how well you think you're doing. When you have a family of eight, it'll turn everything upside down. And that's where I was. And so this was about 16 years ago when the last set were born. And in the last 16 years, I picked up my big boy pants and got busy and began to realize that I could be something more than I envisioned, that I could do more than I ever thought possible and achieve more, both in my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, and in my business world, and accomplish it all with having a balance and a joy and fun and excitement that I never realized was within so easily within my reach. And so over the last 15 years, I've created all this, and that's where I say that's the start of my journey, at least the journey I'm living now. And so I got into real estate investing. I got into really understanding financial wealth and wisdom and understanding also how to be a better me, how to really just show up differently to create this world that I live in where I run around the country and around the world at whim. I get to speak and coach and train all around the world. I have a passionate relationship with my wife, which now spans 32 plus years. And have six just amazing children. Now they're 22, 17, and 16 years of age. And all of them I look up to. And to be able to say that is such a blessing. And it's a testament, I believe, a testament to what I do and how I show up, is that they are just great, amazing individuals. And so the journey's just been brought me here to the point where I can hang out with you in the middle of the day and be having a great time and enjoy myself. So it's been quite amazing. And now I help other people reach this same level of joy, happiness, comfort, abundance as well. And that's what I do every single day of my life now.
Well, and you've learned, as so many of the greats have learned, is that, you know, success that is not shared is really not success. When you're able to share the things that you know have worked personally in your life, if it has something to do with, you know, with your financial situation or your relationships or your health, anything like that that you know works, and you're able to share that with others, and then you see them blossom and grow, and it's just kind of like that ripple effect. That is really the makings of, I mean, to me at least, that is also, that is really the makings of true success, is when what you have learned and you have worked and applied to your own life and business, and you're able to share that with others so that they can, you know, expand their wealth, their happiness, their health. That's a win-win, and I love win-wins. I love win-win-wins as much as possible. I do, because it's just it's something that is vitally important, I think, in this world, to be able to have those tools and support that we all need, especially when we're kind of going out of our comfort zone, you know, and saying, oh, I think I can do this. I think I can. But that's why I'm really happy about having you on during the Fund Drive. And we are going to be offering something very special to our listeners. And I want you, we'll be talking a little bit about what is in this pack. It is the Total Transformations for Life and Business. This is the pack from Paul Fink, the Maverick Millionaire. And let's start with just a little. This is this USB. There's a, one of the parts of the pack is a USB drive that is going to be filled with lots of goodies. And these are different. What do you call them? They would be more like trainings, right? These would be trainings that a lot of your, you actually have for these particular sets of trainings. This is usually just normally only available to your top clients, right? The folks that actually pay you quite a bit of money to get this information, right?
Correct. For you and for just really enjoying this and this connection with you, we put together, we took out of our archives, our vault, 37 different webinar trainings that up to this time and currently are only available to our upper level clients that pay us tens of thousands of dollars. And that's where this material has been held. And it's actually a great, great joy for me to grab hold of it and to have a purpose for putting it out into the world in a bigger way. And so it's really neat. This is 37 webinars where it's all PowerPointed details in every single one. So you know, with every training, there are real snippets of greatness in each one. You can absorb each one by itself, or you can delve in and go through, and we segment them out in different ways for you. Only it's tons of information because it's actually written in on the screen in front of you in webinar format or in PowerPoint format, so that you can really grab hold of it and absorb it in the way in which really fits with you. And it's powerhouse.
It is powerhouse, and there's a lot of stuff that's packed in this on the USB drive. There's business tools, there's strategies, internal and external processes to help people, of course, to reach their fullest potential. But let's talk about some of them, and you don't have to give away too many of the secrets. But let's just talk about some of the trainings that are included on this USB drive. There's 37 of them. But let's just talk about a few of them, and we can even just tap into a little bit about the, you know, the maverick secrets of the wealthy. You know, people, we tend to, I think so much of it is based on our belief system, right, Paul? I think so much of it is how our parents maybe saw money, finances. If they fought over finances, if it was a struggle, if we saw that our parents were always struggling around money, or if they had an attitude or a belief system that money is the root of all evil, money is bad, rich people are bad, you know, those type of things. It just depends on how you grew up. But let's talk about some of those secrets, some of those things that are indicative of people who have been able to amass a decent amount of wealth. And we're talking wealthy. We're also talking not just financial wealth, obviously. But let's talk about that and our views, our belief systems wrapped around wealth and finances.
Oh, my gosh. Our belief systems control everything. Gandhi talks about this a lot, and there's a famous quote that talks about how our thoughts lead